You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Friday, June 20th, and here's a question for you. Do you think that there is a gene for good parenting? Would you want to be tested? Would you want to test your parents? We want to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or you can drop us a line at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And the reason why we're asking you this is because this morning we have a study that's sure to kick up some controversy or at least start a good debate. Dutch researchers say they have found a link between genetics and good parenting skills. Their study points to oxytocin, a hormone which, according to writer Jonah Lehrer, we're going to see a lot of in the headlines. Good morning, Jonah. The author of Proust was a neuroscientist.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us, what is oxytocin and why do Dutch researchers think it may link to good parenting, or at least explain whether or not someone's going to be a good parent?
Oxytocin is a hormone that's also a neurotransmitter in the brain, so it's used by neurons to communicate with each other. And the reason these researchers looked at these genes which encode parts of the oxytocin system in the brain is that oxytocin's long been recognized as a crucial hormone for maternal bonding. So, for example, when you inject oxytocin into prairie voles, they'll immediately...
Into who?
Prairie voles, a funny-looking kind of creature that lives underground. And you inject it into female prairie voles, they'll immediately fall in love with the first male prairie vole they see. If human subjects inhale a nasal spray of oxytocin, they become much more generous during various experimental games people can play, like the ultimatum game. Their offers increase by 80%. So it's released in vast quantities during birth and breastfeeding. So it's long been recognized as a hormone that plays a very important role in kind of mammalian bonding and drawing people together and probably helping people fall in love, even prairie voles.
Sounds like a good hormone. Does it have anything to do with runner's high or other good feelings when you're doing some type of activity?
It's not like those endorphins. It's not like adrenaline or something like that. It seems to be specific to social interactions. So, for example, you know, developing lots of experiments with various kinds of rodents, rats. They've shown the same thing. You inject this thing, it's like love potion number 9.
Now, that's a provocative conclusion. How confident are they, though, that the levels, and it is about the levels, right, that you have in your system might dictate how good of a parent you are?
Well, so what this study in the Netherlands looked at, they looked at 159 middle-class mothers with 2-year-old sons, and they found that women who have a variant of a gene which encodes a part of the oxytocin system, and this variant of the gene is known to make the oxytocin system a little less effective, a little less efficient in the brain. They seem to be less sensitive to their kids. So on a variety of measures, for example, how quickly they respond to their child when he's crying, to how often they kiss their child, they seem a little less sensitive, a little less nurturing. And this seems to correlate pretty well with women who had this variant of the gene.
This is Patrick Bass here. So you're talking about social interaction, you know, a lot. But what if you're a misanthrope?
What if you're
a loner?
People do believe that oxytocin might play a role in sociopaths and in kind of extreme forms of the behavior. So you know, this seems to be. I think it's also very important to note that clearly the model we have now is vastly oversimplified. I think there's a long history in neuroscience of people latching onto a chemical and saying, here's the chemical of love, here's the chemical of social bonding. So I've no doubt the story will get much more complicated. But for right now, I think oxytocin really is a nice model to study everything from what causes prairie voles to fall in love to what might be wrong in the brain of a sociopath. So it really is a nice window right now into these very complicated things like social interactions.
Exactly, which is why that we should take this study with a bit of caution, because as you know, I mean, at one point it was dopamine and then it was serotonin, and we hear about these hormones that are heralded as the end-all, be-all. But scientists in this case are really just beginning to investigate and understand what oxytocin does, right?
Absolutely. You know, there kind of is a history of neurotransmitter of the month, and oxytocin is the hot, hip, new neurotransmitter. And I think it is very important to take it with a grain of salt. That said, I think the study, you know, the findings are statistically significant, and it is an interesting way to study something as complicated as parenting. So I think even these researchers would never argue that oxytocin is is the determining factor, the single causal factor that makes you a good mother, a sensitive mother, or a cold mother. But this might be one of the, you know, hundreds of variables that comes into play.
Jonah, of course, as I predicted at the beginning of this segment, controversy and at least a good debate, because already we've had one of our listeners have a response to it. Let's listen.
Good morning, Adora. This is David from Putnam. I really can't buy the good genes makes good parents. Good parenting comes in basic forms. I mean, there's only so much you can do to be a good parent. After that, it's up to the genetics. And who hasn't seen a family, my own, for example, where you have three boys, two who grow up perfect and one who's a black sheep? That'd be me. Take care. Bye.
He's calling himself a black sheep. I think
everyone
has an opinion on this, right, Jonah?
Oh, I've no doubt. You know, we all had parents, we all had mothers, and you know, I think there is something difficult with swallowing the idea that there are these genes, these impersonal things in our brain that somehow shape these aspects of behavior that we consider so fundamental. What kind of parent we are, what kind of child we are, what kind of person we are. So there is something inherently troubling about the idea that this gene which controls some squirts of neurotransmitter in our cortex ultimately determines what kind of parent we're going to be. So you know, that is a troubling idea. I think it erodes lots of fundamental concepts we carry around about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think it is one of the things science does. You know,
it's called building blocks.
It's
called building blocks. As my dad would say, as a civil engineer, it takes a lot of little bricks to build a big building. We don't know what that big building looks like. Jonah Lehrer, science writer and author of Proust Was a Neuroscience. Thank you, Jonah.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.